The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning, and I'm your host, Rick Thompson of Talk Saratoga, and an all-star we do have. I want to welcome Wendy Libertor from the Times Union. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Rick.
How are you?
Fine, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Well, I should thank you because you have a long ride in, and you have to get up earlier than I do probably, but at least the weather's nice.
Yes.
It's not snowing because you have come in the wintertime.
Yes.
And you've come in with, I don't know, a voodoo doll with pins in it. And it kind of looked like me, but I give you a lot of credit for doing that.
I would never do that, Rick.
I know you wouldn't. I know you wouldn't. I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding, people. Well, we've got a lot going on with Election Day coming up, and I have two guests on, one at the end of the next Saturday, the last Saturday, and then the first Saturday. I've got the girl that's running for state senator.
Michelle?
Michelle, and awesome. Then the following Saturday I have
Jim Todisco
on. And you want to know something? 15 years ago, Jim was my very first guest.
Was he?
Yeah. And so, you know.
I'm sure he was a very good guest. He likes to talk.
He does. And that's what I like, too. I like guests that like to talk because, you know, I'm not an expert in any field. So it's always nice when the guests take over and can talk. But we've got a bunch of things going on in the city here. One big county race, but a lot going on in the city and a lot of things other than election. But the first thing county-wise is the DA race.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be a little bit close than it ever has been before.
Yeah, I think it's so interesting because a Republican hasn't been challenged in the county for more than 50 years, which is completely amazing that no one ever rose to the challenge. Yep. And now Karen Hagan is facing a big challenge from Michael Phillips.
Yeah.
And the Democrat who, sees a lot of things wrong with the way her department is run.
Yeah.
And also a lot of the plea deals she works out. And so I think this is the first time Karen's really ever had a run for her money.
Yeah.
And moreover, a lot of the Republicans were not behind her even in the first place.
I know. During the
nomination
process. Yeah, I know it.
She struggled. And so... Now, I think this is going to be a really close race.
Yeah, I do, too. Hey, before we go any farther, I meant to say hello to a couple people.
Oh, go ahead.
Before the show started. There are three students that I met last year. The business I work for, Upstate Transit, does a Skidmore shuttle from the college to the horse barn. And I got to be close with three of the students last year, and they are super, super nice people. Mia, Nakina, and Barbara. And everybody talks about Skidmore students being uppity and not friendly. And I got to tell you, they're just the opposite. The ones that I take probably 25 a day. Back and forth, and I'll tell you, they are the nicest kids that you ever wanted to meet. And I just wanted to say hello to you this morning. I know Mia may be listening because she's still up, but I think the other two are still sawing the logs, as we say.
Yes, yes.
But anyway, getting back to the DA race, I had Michael on, and I tried to get Karen on, but I just couldn't hook it up. But I think overall, too, I think it goes to show, sadly, how the Republican Party is not taking, I don't think, politics seriously anymore.
Really?
I mean, that's my outlook. They always relied on the old-time, strong party boss, and whoever that may have been at the time. And that those days are gone. And I honestly don't think they can, like I said, and sadly, I don't think they can get things together anymore.
Yeah, I think there's a real split in the county still with what the smaller towns think should be done and what the larger towns think should be done, and the larger towns always end up dominating.
Well, sure.
And, you know, and, you know, their county chair just resigned. We have a new Republican county chair.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I'm wondering how things will change again. But, yes, it was a lot of division, certainly over Karen Hagan. So I'm not sure. Yes, and it's kind of been that way for a couple of years.
Yeah.
I
know there's been some friction in that department. But, you know, I think anytime you have a weighted vote, you're going to get that discrepancy. And, I mean, we have two supervisors. The towns have one. Clifton Park, I think, has two because of population. But you should have that vote. All right, you have two votes for Saratoga, two votes for Clifton Park, and should be a vote for everybody else. I don't believe in weighted votes myself.
Yeah.
Because you have another representative on the board, or if you only had, Saratoga only had one supervisor and you want to weight it by population, then go ahead. But,
right.
You know.
Yeah, it's difficult because then it's not so much the majority rules, and they keep upping the population.
Threshold.
Yeah.
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 Because one of the towns.
Yeah, Half Moon.
Could have made another supervisor.
Yes. Yeah, so they didn't. So now Kevin Tollison, the supervisor in Half Moon, has all of the vote. I mean, instead of it being split between two people who might not agree.
Sure.
So, Kevin Tollison is probably the most powerful person in the whole county.
Is
right
he?
Now. Yes, because his vote means more than anybody else's.
And he's from Half Moon?
Half Moon.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because of the population?
Yes,
size?
The population's growing. They're building houses like crazy in Half
Moon.
Oh,
I know.
All the farmland is going into housing. It used to be, you know, rural.
It's sad. I mean, in a way, it's sad.
It's changed a lot, yeah.
I pick up a young boy in the morning to go to special needs school, and he's in a development just outside of Saratoga, and I drove in the other day, and when you go down the street before you take a right to get to his house, there's a house directly across the street, and there was a huge doe on the front lawn, and it's a huge housing development, too, and I'm saying to myself, you know, in a way, it's sad, because they probably took the habitat away from these animals.
Yes.
And that's, you know, I mean, it's sad.
It is sad. Yeah. No, I feel for the creatures and our trees and.
I mean, we talk about global warming, but part of that, too, is we're getting rid of so many trees that put oxygen back in the air that could help. The planet.
Yeah.
And what do we expect?
Carbon sequestration, right. And I know.
I don't know. It's sad.
And then you look at what they're doing on in Saratoga, too. They're just, because there's not much space left to go, they're going up.
They're going up, and they're building on these little pieces of property that I always thought you needed a certain amount of property to build a house. It wasn't huge, but I don't know if it was like a quarter an acre, half an acre, or something. But holy mackerel, you see these houses going up. Your next door neighbor, you can reach out and shake hands.
Yeah, I know. And then there's on South Broadway near the school there, the Catholic school.
Oh, yeah, St. Peter's.
Yeah, they're building what they're calling the cruise ship. you know, digging way into the ground to try to do underground parking there.
Yeah.
And it's really wet soil. They're having some issues, I heard, and
correct me if I'm wrong, that they're going down so far they're hitting the water aquifer.
Yes.
And that could change the springs in the state park.
That's right, yes. So, and it was all approved by the planning board, so...
I don't think anything ever gets turned down by the planning board.
I can't think of very much that has been. Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
I can't understand that building whatsoever.
No, I know it's a little bit. It's too much.
Well, it's just like the one they put next to Finger Paints, where he went up 50 units, I think.
Yeah.
And he went up. Now, where the heck is the parking for that?
I know, that's another thing. There's still a parking problem. And it's interesting, though, people don't seem to want to go to the new parking garage for the city center.
No.
It seems like it's always empty.
I know.
Whereas the free lots are jam-packed.
Well, you know what? I don't know. I don't know this, but I would always think that a resident could have a pass, like a 12-hour pass, to park in that.
Right. A lot of businesses wanted to get a pass for their employees because their employees are running around town looking for a place to park when they should be in the store selling merchandise.
Right. They have to move the car every 2 hours. Well, I always thought if the city would give a business, let's say they had 5 employees, maybe... $200 a year for each employee.
Yeah.
You know, at least they could make some money and they wouldn't have all that empty parking spaces. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you know what? That sounds too logical.
Yes.
Too logical for Saratoga. Right. I hate to say that, but I hate to say that. So getting back to the DA's race, 50 years without an opponent, and right there is that, that's to me, that's a sin.
Yes. Well, I blame the Democrats for that. I mean, where have they been all this time?
Not true. True. Put somebody up.
Right.
I mean...
Instead of just... And the Democrats for years just said, you know, they wouldn't put anybody up for county clerk, for sheriff, for anybody. You know, they just...
Not put it up. John Frank's a good friend of mine,
mm-hmm.
and I really like John. But he was the same way. He never had an opponent.
Yes.
And once or twice he did have an opponent, and they just threw somebody at him just to...
Right.
But how many years? He was in 16 years, and he had 2 opponents, and they had no chance of winning.
Right. But at least they tried. I think it's nice to give the voters a choice.
Oh, I do, too. I think they should. But, yeah. I mean, you know, so that was how many times? 14 times that... He ran unopposed. And, you know, I mean, they should put somebody up.
Yes.
But here again, that's the party, opposite party's fault for not running somebody.
Yes. And I think there's probably been some backroom deals in the past where the Republicans will say, all right, we won't run somebody for this, you know, accounts if you don't run anybody for DPW.
Right.
And I think things are going to change on the county level only because their chair has resigned, too. So both chairs of the county committees, the Republican and the Democrat, they both have resigned recently. So,
will it be a Republican now? That, I mean, most likely it'll be a Republican chairman coming in?
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's still dominant
Republican.
Right.
But they usually take the law and finance...
Yeah, so it could be Jonathan Schaaf this year, who's from Clifton Park.
All right.
Which, you know, that makes sense. Clifton Park is the biggest community in the whole county.
It is.
Yeah.
People think Saratoga is, but it's not.
It's Clifton Park.
And one of the things, too, Saratoga really, I mean, with all the building, it hasn't grown population-wise as much as you would think.
I know. It's been stable for a long time.
A long time. I mean, it may have moved 500 to the plus or 800 to the plus, but with all the building you see around, it's not that much.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because they're not full-time residents.
I think that's part of the problem is they live here half of the year.
Well, you have to live like, let's say you want to be a resident of Florida, you have to live 6 months and a day, and then you can live up here. But you can get the benefits from being a resident of Florida.
Interesting.
So they don't have taxes. And I think that's a foreign country, too, because I knew somebody that had a lot of family over in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And the husband worked here. He had a really good job here, but his wife lived in Israel, but she had to come back after 6 months and a day, or 6 months, because she didn't want to be a resident of Israel. So she had to come back for, I don't know if it was 2 or 3 months, then she could go back over for another. So there is a residency thing.
Right, right, yeah. But I think that's, we're getting more part-time residents. And, you know, the people that do want to live here, who work here, is, you know, the restaurants and the shops, right, they can't afford it. And, you know, that's why businesses are struggling to get help, too.
Oh, my gosh. It's all over.
Yeah.
You know, I usually stop on the way down from school to McDonald's off of exit 18, because I go up to exit 19. Mm-hmm. And the other day, I mean, they've been complaining they haven't had enough help since the pandemic. But the other day I went, day before yesterday, and the front door was locked. And they said lobby is closed, so just the drive-up was open. So I was walking back to the bus. Now, I've been doing that run for 9 years, and I stop every day during the school year. So the girl at the drive-up window yelled out, "Hey, Rick, do you want your coffee?" I said, "Yeah." So she said, "Well, come here." So I go up to the drive-up window, and she gave me my coffee. I said, "I'll gladly pay you Monday for a coffee today." That old wimpy.
Right, right, from Popeye.
That old wimpy thing, yeah, from Popeye. And she goes, "Don't worry about it. It's on us." So, but they didn't have enough help to wait on customers, just to drive up.
It's a shame.
And they pay well.
Yeah.
And if you're a high school student and you go and you work and you work vacations, they'll give you college assistance, tuition assistance, which is a lot.
Yes,
I don't know how much, but it's they do it.
No, every penny helps.
But you have to promise you'll work Christmas break, you know, Easter break or whatever,
right.
winter break.
That's a good compromise
deal.
For, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you got a job.
We'll help you pay for school and on your breaks.
Yep.
Help us.
It's amazing. But they can't
get it. That is good.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be an interesting county race.
Yes.
In any case. And I'm anxious to see what happens.
Me too.
I mean, I usually don't get political because we all have the people we want. And I don't hold any grudge against anybody if you're for somebody I don't like or whatever. But I just have a feeling that we may be in for a change this November.
We could be.
I just have that feeling, you know, and I don't know. We'll see what happens. It'll be interesting anyway this year. Let's go to the public works race.
Yes.
We talked a little bit about this before the show, but Anthony Scirocco, who's Skip Scirocco's son, against Jason Golub. Jason was appointed to succeed Scirocco when he passed away to fill out his term, but he had to run for office in the off year. So this is the off year. Next year will be a citywide election. So he has to run against Skip Scirocco's son. Now, how's that shaping up to your view, like what you see?
I think probably Golub will win only because he seems to be doing a pretty good job.
Yeah.
You know, he's getting sidewalks built on Caroline Street for the little kids who walk to school. He's getting sidewalks over on the west side. They're doing plans for that. You know, he's doing Wi-Fi for the entire city.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of nostalgia for Skip Scirocco. Skip died in office. A lot of people liked him. A lot of people knew him.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people feel, you know what, let's give his son a try, because that was one of Skip's dying wishes, was to have his son take over.
Well, that, I mean, you know, that would be a normal wish for a politician to want their family. A lot of times a wife will take over the in like Congress or Senate, you
yes.
know, but I think that's every politician's wish that someone would take over.
Right.
This may be a time to break that, though, because, as you said, Jason is doing a good job. He hasn't been in very long. But I feel that there's a conflict of interest with Anthony Scirocco. He is the county superintendent of roads, in charge of blacktopping and snow plowing. And I just wonder what's going to happen come wintertime if there's a huge snowstorm and he's got to make the calls. Who's he going to call first, the county or the city
right.
crews?
Yeah. That is a question that he needs to address, because was it last winter, last December, we had the 30-something inches?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, you have to have people out there working.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how he's going to balance both the county and the city. Those are a lot of roads.
And it's nonstop when you get snowstorms. So,
right.
I honestly think it's a conflict of interest there. Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't hold two positions. So either I feel he gives up his county job for the interim and concentrate on the city job, because you also run a department.
Right.
You're not just a superintendent of streets. You do have a deputy, but you are the overall in-charge person, the go-to person. Now, can he get phone calls during the day nonstop
right.
from the city?
Right. Well, you know, he's on county time. I know.
Because there was a little discrepancy with his father when he was county supervisor and he was the animal control officer about doing county work on city time.
Yes.
So
right, and some people would see that as double dipping too. You know that
exactly.
So there is a conflict there, and but the other thing about Jason too is at the city council table when people are going at each other, which is common now. Unfortunately, the city council table is a mess. Jason seems to be the one with the calm. And,
pacifier.
We're wasting time arguing.
Yeah.
So, what are you doing here?
You know, my father was a councilman in Gloversville. We've talked mm-hmm. about this before. I mean, he was a Republican, so I don't take sides on mm-hmm. Democrat or Republican. But they had a meeting, as these people do, the night before a council meeting, to talk about what the subjects are, how are they going to vote, and that, because they want to get their air their grievances out before the council table.
Right.
I said to a chairman of the Democratic Party one time, Charlie Brown, mm-hmm. this was back when the dreaded Michelle Madigan was in office and Joanne mm-hmm. Yepsen was mayor, and they would yell at each other.
Terrible.
I said to him, you know, you have a meeting the night before a council. Why don't you make them do that at the meeting and get to the council table and look professional?
Right.
I said, they look like a bunch of clowns up there.
Yes.
And Madigan was always the one that instigated it. I mean, Joanne would sit there and try and call order, but it never worked.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't
understand. She'd be banging her gavel.
Yeah.
And nothing would happen.
Yeah. And I just wonder why they do that and make themselves look foolish.
Because
they're all the same party. They get together at that meeting the night before.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
Scream at each other then.
But. Right. Right. Well, you know, in these budget workshops, apparently Jim Montanino was really giving Manita Sambia a terrible time over, you know, claiming that she's defunding the police because she hasn't, she's increasing the line for firemen for the third firehouse.
Right.
And is keeping the police department level. She's not increasing or decreasing. And Jim sees that as defunding the police because he thinks he needs new police. And, you know, it was just horrible. You know, they're interrupting each other.
Yeah. You know, if this isn't, I said to you before, if this isn't a great example of why we need charter change, I don't think there will ever be another example, because we need professionals to run departments, and we can have these people yell at each other at the council table if they want, but I mean, we need professional people to run departments. Not to say that the people running the departments aren't doing a good job.
Right.
But when your, quote, bosses are yelling at each other, that's right. not a good thing.
They're all fighting for the turf. Yeah. That's the problem. It's not a united vision for the city. It's just, this is my turf, and this is what I want.
Yeah.
And that's another thing about Jason. He said, you know, I talked to Manita, the Commissioner of Finance, first, before we go into the meeting, you know, so that it's not a yelling and screaming match.
That's what they should do.
I know.
It's like I said, I mean, my father was one that liked to argue, but he never did at the council table. It was all done, you know, he would have a town meeting. They called it town meeting, his mm-hmm. ward. He had Ward 1, mm-hmm. and actually down in Gloversville at the time, they had two council people for the ward. But they would meet at the church cafeteria, and the people would go, and he would mm-hmm. bring up what they were going to talk about, what was their feeling, what did they think about things. And the next night, he would get together with the other council people
right.
of the same party. I mean, he didn't all get together. And that's a time when you hashed out what you wanted to do or what you thought. And then when you got to the council table, you just talked
right.
about what you wanted to do and let it go at that.
Right,
and
right.
vote.
Yeah, I think when Meg Kelly was mayor, they did a lot of that.
Yeah.
They didn't even bring stuff. They never put stuff on the agenda that they knew wasn't fully going to be approved.
Right.
It would just be, yep, read it, approve it. Approve it, you know, it's all matter passes, you know, so.
Yeah, I know.
But that's not what's happening right
now.
I
always thought one of the better council people, I know some people didn't like him, but Chris Mathiesen always wanted to get a feel of what the people wanted.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I think he was one of the first ones that wanted to have those meetings on Saturday, where people come in and talk to him about things.
Yeah.
And he wasn't afraid to talk about anything.
Right.
Whether you agreed with him or disagreed
right.
with him, he would talk about it and never argue. I don't know. I think the country politics is creeping into city politics.
I agree.
And
all local.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it is. You can't talk about things anymore. You can't agree to disagree with anybody
anymore.
I know. Anymore.
It's not. And that's, we can't move forward if we can't discuss things.
Exactly. And then we may end up not getting what we want, but at least we discussed it.
Right.
And the seat is there. Now, like, all right, the police. There's grants available, or not always available, but a lot of times there's grants available to hire maybe two police or whatever. And I always maintain, and it's my understanding that Saratoga won't accept cross, I forget what they call that, mm-hmm. where you take two police, if you want to hire somebody, a policeman from another department.
Oh, right. They will not do that.
They will not do that.
Right.
Well, here you get a police officer. You don't have to pay for all that training. And I don't see the big deal in that.
Well, they will hire somebody from another department, but they won't. They have to start at the bottom of the barrel.
Oh, see, that's what it is?
Yeah, you can't, like,
you can't
step in. Say you were a chief in Albany. You have to come back and be the lowest level
patrol officer. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's why they have trouble.
All right.
And plus, it's hard to find people who want to be police anymore.
I know.
Police are, you know, people are ripping them to shreds.
Oh, they are.
Who wants to be a police officer now?
No.
You know,
get abused physically. You get abused verbally.
Oh, totally verbally.
Mentally,
yes.
I mean, egads.
Yeah.
I give them a lot of credit. I mean, the police deserve every good thing that can happen to them. They really,
you know, the few bad apples ruined it for everybody, basically.
They did. And there's bad apples in everything.
In every walk
of life, there's bad apples.
Right. And, bad teachers, bad journalists, bad, you know, bus drivers, you know, whatever.
Hey, wait a minute. I think bus drivers, I think we can exclude that.
Okay.
No, you're right. There are bad apples in everything, which is human nature.
Right.
But you don't crucify the lot for that. I don't know. I'll tell you what, we're getting to be a difficult world to live in. We really are. I mean, Democrats and Republicans always had their opposite opinions, but you could always walk away from the table friends.
Right.
And
it's
not
harder
enemies.
Now.
It's much harder now.
A lot of people are hating on each other. So,
what else is going on in the budget fight? I know the silos want their hay.
Right, but there will be a tax increase, like 3.7%. And this is Manita Sambi's first budget. And so to have a tax increase right out of the gate, I think, is going to be hard for some people to swallow because, you know, Michelle Madigan, her predecessor, only raised taxes one time, and that was in 2021, I believe, after the very difficult pandemic year.
Right.
And sales tax went down the tube.
And her last year.
Right.
But that's her fault. Madigan's fault that we were having a tax increase. I spoke with a former mayor,
mm-hmm.
who I mentioned before the show when we talked about the government, the former government, and he said, I asked him, I said, look, Scott, shouldn't we have like a quarter of a percent maybe every other year just so you don't have to put a big one in when times get tough? He said, yeah, that's what a normal financial person would do.
Right.
And he said, she's setting us up for a big, now this was, you know, a couple years ago, setting the city up for a big tax increase.
Right.
And, you know, we're getting the 3.3% is...
Nearly four. And that's because Michelle did not do that, and she also used all the savings. And Manita does not want to use savings to...
you can't.
Yeah. Manita is much more of a realist. You know, she's expecting there to be a recession next year. So she's estimating the sales tax a little lower. Or no, not lower, flat. So she's not saying we're going to get more sales tax than we did the previous year because of the recession. And, you know, and prices are really high, and people are realizing, oh, my gosh, food is so high, gas is so high, we have to cut back.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, just throwing this in about prices being so high, groceries are going to go up sky high still. The our Kiwanis Club, we do about 175 baskets for Thanksgiving, and we were told by the... there's a girl in our club who's the treasurer for the regional food bank, and that turkeys, a 12 to 14 pound turkey, will be $21.75 this Thanksgiving. Now, I know Hannaford or some of the grocery chains have them at $1.69 a pound now, but she said you better get it now because it's going to be $111 for a case of four.
Oh, my goodness.
So, because the avian flu and inflation.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that is going to be, people aren't going to have a lot of turkey, I don't think, this year.
It's tough. Times are really tough. And that's also fueling more anger among people. But, and so Manita's very realistic. And, and she said the other council members, particularly Jim Montanino, the public safety commissioner, is pretty angry.
Well, what are you going to... Hey, let him pay more in taxes then.
I mean, he's getting... let's see how many... He'll have 82 firefighters, and right now he's just got 66 because they're manning the new fire station over by the track.
Yeah.
So that's, so he is getting an increase in money, but for firemen, not policemen.
Yeah, but you got to staff that fire department.
Right, exactly.
You want a fire department, you got to staff it.
Right, you know? Right. And it'll be, you know, make our all the residents, certainly on the east side, on the eastern plateau, a lot safer.
Safer, sure. I don't know. I blame it on Madigan. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because you don't, you're not finance commissioner for, I don't know how many years she was. 10
yeah,
years.
Yeah, 10. Yeah.
And not raise taxes until the last year you're in office. And use all your savings every year. And we're talking about maybe $6, $8 million to draw that all down to zip until the next year. And then you have a pandemic. And, I mean, nobody knew we were going to have a pandemic.
Right, right.
But you've got to anticipate things like this. And now our commissioner of finance is anticipating a recession. We may not have one, but inflation is still going to be high.
Yes.
and they are raising interest rates. And I read an article the other day where houses are having a tough time being sold now. Because the mortgage rates are very high, so you won't get that mortgage tax as much as you were, probably.
Right.
His houses are still going to sell. But, yeah, I think everything is going to be a domino effect on everything, you know.
And Manita was also saying that prices for benefits have just skyrocketed to health insurance.
Oh, of course.
So, you know, so she's got that challenge as well. And her main goal was to not lay off anybody. She wanted to make sure the who's ever hired right now is
staying on the job.
Right. No layoffs.
That's good.
Yeah, that was one of her goals. So if we keep the, and that requires keeping the police department at what level it is right now.
Well, I hope they get rid of that. I've been a proponent of this for years, that elected officials, only elected officials, I mean, if you're an employee and it's in your contract, that life insurance for, or health insurance for life, elected officials should not benefit from that. And I hope they get, I hope someone would bring it up. I know Scott Johnson wanted to eliminate that. He brought it up for discussion only and couldn't get a second. And he had a member of his own party, Skip Scirocco, wouldn't even second to bring it up for discussion.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I don't know, but I don't believe in that.
Right.
Because they get a very big health policy. Their health policy is top. And,
yeah, it is.
I heard a figure of about $30,000 a year. So if you've got city employees getting that, and rightly so, I'm not saying they shouldn't. But you've got your council people that have served 10 years, and that's not really a hard thing to do if you want to keep running.
Yeah.
Because the incumbent usually has a good chance of winning.
Yes.
You know, so I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Well, if they
the
keep fighting at the council table, maybe those incumbents won't get.
Gosh, I'm telling you. You know what we should have done back in last November is start a show. Like The Office. Remember the show The Office?
Yes.
We should do The Council.
Yeah.
And then have, we could have probably made a lot of money on that.
That would be very funny.
Yeah, that would be a good show. homeless is getting to be, it's been an issue for quite a few years now. And I remember when my daughter was going to Spa Catholic, she went in seventh grade. So, I don't know how old you are back when you're in seventh grade, but she said, Dad, I saw a man go in the dumpster today, and that was unheard of in Saratoga Springs.
Oh, yeah.
So, that was probably maybe 25 years ago, let's say.
Yeah.
And now, it's just such a common thing, and there are so many homeless people in Saratoga.
Yes.
And, I see they're taking the old senior center, which is city property, and they're going to renovate it. Now, they can probably add on, too, because they have a huge parking lot that I don't think they'll need the whole parking
lot. That's true, too. Now, you're right, because most homeless people don't have a car.
Right.
I mean, some do, but And if they do, they're probably living in it. But
they could take half of that lot, because it is a very large lot.
Yes.
They could take half of that, add on to the building, because we talked about that when I was on the board.
Mm-hmm.
We talked to Skip about maybe adding on to the senior center, because mm-hmm. they had more classes they wanted
yes,
to offer.
Yes, they had so
that.
Many programs.
Yeah, but it never went anywhere. But now the senior center is all set up at the Y with room. Mm-hmm. So they don't have to worry about that. And the senior center has a restaurant kitchen.
Yes.
I don't know if you've ever been in to see that.
Yes, I have. Yeah.
I mean, they've got commercial stoves, right. Convection ovens, a counter, heat table.
Yes.
So they could feed the homeless right there. And, you know.
Well, and I think the nice thing about this new building for the homeless is they'll give them some place to go during the day
exactly.
where they can get some help. They can go to the bathroom, they can shower, they can get help looking for a job, for
counseling.
A home. All yeah. these things that are needed, mental health care, physical health care. But, you know, I think there's going to be some issues with the school being right there. I'm not sure yet. I haven't heard from parents, but I have a feeling this
I
might
think
be
it's
coming.
Automatic that there's going to be a pushback.
Yeah. Because the neighborhood where they did want to build it pushed back, and they won a lawsuit.
I know.
So
you can't get on the east side. I mean, nobody on the east side, because that's usually where the influence is on the east side. You're not going to put anything over there, unless. NYRA leases them some property,
let's say,
because they have a huge amount of property over there, the lowlands, leases them some property, but then again, you got BOCES over there.
Right, that's true, too.
But
and it's got to be somewhere where people can walk. That's why they like that downtown. And I think it'll move some of the homeless out of the parking garages and the other places where they squat, so.
Well, the school, if it wasn't a school, I think it would be a lot easier of a decision, but there's going to be, I feel.
And then there's the cruise ship they're building, which is going to have all luxury. Are those folks are not going to like it either.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't worry about them as much as I do school kids.
Right.
I mean, if I had a choice, I think the school kids would come first.
Right.
People in those luxury apartments, hey, look, you know what?
Right.
That's, you want to pay $800,000, $900,000 for a townhouse. That's all fine and dandy.
Right.
But I don't think
it's still
the
a
homeless,
city.
Yeah, right. And I don't think the homeless would bother them.
No. No.
But I don't know. You know, everything we do here is a tough call.
It is.
Because people don't want them here. And like, where were they going to put that? That was going to be the shelters, right?
Right next to the shelters of Saratoga on Walworth Street.
Walworth.
That's where, you know, parents were like, well, our kids are walking to school, and they're just going to see this influx of homeless people leaving the shelter in the morning, and they just...
Yeah, but other than putting them out in the country... Where are you going to build in the city that it's not going to be near somebody?
Right, I know. That's the whole problem.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't just... Yeah, and they need to be in the city where they can walk to the place.
Why don't they use the old Price Chopper building? I mean, well, no, you got luxury apartments up above that.
Yeah, I'm sure Bonaccio would not like that.
Well, they're in the parking lot anyway, so move them inside.
Yes,
I mean,
right.
And then you can use the parking lot.
Right, yeah.
But no, it's no matter where. Or, you know, another good place would have been that county building that Adirondack Trust bought.
Right, yeah. I'm surprised they didn't use that building. I think that would have been a good choice, but apparently it needed a lot of renovations, so...
Yeah, but they're talking about spending $3 million on a senior center.
Right.
So.
And, the Mitsons, you know, Ed and Lisa said they'll spend what they need to spend.
Yeah.
For the homeless shelter.
Those people are amazing.
They are.
You know what? When you talk about someone that do things for people and spends millions of dollars and they don't want their name attached to it, I think is amazing. They're saints.
Oh, they are amazing.
They are.
They're saints. Really are saints.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do so much for Saratoga Springs and the surrounding community with their businesses that give everything to, you know.
Charity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's an old story. George Steinbrenner, who was the owner of the Yankees, his father, they were shipping magnates. They owned shipping company. And his father told him that if he ever did anything, donated millions of dollars to an organization or that, don't ever attach your name to it. Because if you do, you're doing it for the wrong reason.
Mm.
And you know, that's how the Mitzens are. They,
yes.
They don't mind, I mean, if it's in the paper that they've done this.
Right.
But they don't have to have everything named after them, or they don't make a big deal about it. But mm-hmm. they do so much.
They do, yeah. And, you know, I got to give credit to the Dakes, too. They do a lot, too.
Oh, the Dakes do, too. Yeah. And, you don't hear about it.
No.
And that's why you don't know that they do a lot.
Right. You know? Usually they're anonymous.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And you know what? I would be, too.
Yeah.
I want that money, and I would be anonymous.
Yes, because if you're not anonymous, too, people will be coming knocking on your door. What about me?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's if you, like when you win the lotto, you know,
right.
You've got so many friends. Now,
new relatives, too.
Now, New York, you have to give your name if you win the lotto or the lottery. There are states that you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
But, well, you know. Because
I would rather be anonymous.
I would rather be anonymous, too. I'd move to the state that you didn't have to give your name to.
Right.
But, so, we have, I wrote something down here that I can't read, and it's the law.
Oh, the ordinance for the ordinance. We're talking about the homeless.
Yeah, the homeless,
yes.
Right.
Right,
The vagrancy law.
Right. Jim Montanino wants to pass a law where you can charge homeless folks who are panhandling aggressively. He's saying only if the person is too close to you while you're at the ATM or in a parking garage, if people are starting to feel vulnerable about the homeless, you know, asking for money and persistently asking for money. You can ask for money once, but not twice, three times, four times. But a lot of people feel that we already have a harassment law. That's harassment. They should be charged under that and not have a special law just for homeless people.
I don't know.
But there's other people who are all for it because they say they are being, you know, unduly harassed by panhandlers.
Well, you know, I was helping a friend of mine when she was running for office, and I was walking with her to get signatures, and we were down on Broadway, and there was a police officer standing there. So she went into the building, and I was talking to him, and there was a homeless person walking across the street, and he said to me, "Hey, Rick, you see the gentleman over there?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "You know, he makes more a year than I do." I said, "You're kidding." And he said, "No, I'm not." He said, some people, not all of the homeless, but some of them do that for a living. And, I mean, If they do it now, like, I'll go for coffee with a friend every Friday after work, mm-hmm. and we'll walk through the parking lot, and there's always a young fella sitting there on the curb, and he'll always say, you know, can you spare a dollar? So I'll give him a dollar, and we'll keep walking, and that's it. When we walk back and he's there, he'll say, "Have a good night." Now, he could say, "Hey, can you spare a dollar again?"
Yeah.
Okay, but he doesn't. I think he remembers who we are.
Yeah.
And you don't mind trying to help people out, but it's like you said, when they get aggressive, that's the time not to do it, you know.
Well, and, you know, after speaking with people who work with the homeless, or the unhoused, as they're calling them now, they say do not give them money. Go buy them food.
I know.
And So, and I have to say, I've never, I mean, occasionally I falter and give people money, but I try not to.
I don't give them a lot, though.
Yeah.
But a friend of mine had a cousin that owns a store, like a convenience store, and someone came in one day and wanted money to buy milk. So he went in the back and got a gallon of milk and brought it out to give it to him. And the guy looked at it and he turned around and walked out.
Yeah.
He didn't want the milk.
Right, right. Yeah, so, I've had people tell me they've given homeless people food and then they saw the homeless person throwing the food out. And they were like devastated.
Oh, I know.
You know, so, you know, because their signs say, you know, hungry. You know, like you'll see them at the intersections. Yeah. And that was another thing the law says is no intersection, you know, when you're stopped at a light.
You know, it's a tough thing. It's a tough thing trying to help the homeless. And I've always thought or maintained that probably 90% of the homeless have either a drug addiction problem, an alcohol addiction problem, or a mental issue.
Right.
There are truly some people that are homeless because of situations.
Yes.
But most of them have a problem that needs to be addressed, and I think we need to put resources into that area. And it's hard for it to get the homeless to go to these places for help. But I think maybe they should aggressively be out talking to the homeless and seeing and telling them nicely. I mean, you do it.
Right.
You know, let's try to help you. Let's get some help for you. And there may not be anything you can do, but...
Well, that's what they want to do with that new center, to provide a place for them to go and provide those resources, the mental health help, the addiction help. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see if it gets built. I'm skeptical if that's even going to happen.
Yeah, so. Me too. We've been trying to do this for how long?
I know.
You know, any small issues you got that you want to talk about
coming up?
What you've been working on other than election time?
No, it's election kind of 24/7 right now.
I know.
Well, Wendy, I want to thank you for being with us this Saturday. And everybody, be with us next week when we have another great guest on Talk Saratoga. So for Rick Thompson and Wendy Libitor, our special guest today, thank you very much. And we'll see you next week.